Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
What happens to a nation that gives up its founding principle that free speech is a right for all? And if you say something they don't like, they'll beat you physically or shame you or shut you up. We've always been told that such a thing would come from the right, but now we know that was a lie. It comes from the left, as fascism now shutting down free speech, attacking people at universities, the threat of violence or shame forcing the silence. Shaming not only speakers, but students. This is the Chicago Way. I'm John Cass, your mild-mannered Greek cowboy and columnist for the Chicago Tribune. And once again, joined by my podcast partner, Jeff Carlin, WGN producer, who's been under the weather lately. His illness increased by Blackhawks being run out of the playoffs. And later, we'll be joined by noted conservative Trump hater and cigar seller, Sean from Elmwood Park, though I think it really should be Sean from Melrose Park. And Christian McQuarrie, Tribune editorial board member, a.k.a. at Statehouse Chick, joins us now after her cool vacation. She returns to the land of political corruption, educators going to prison, and the dreaded Night King of Illinois, House Speaker Michael Madigan, leading his army of White Walkers in our own Game of Thrones. Christian McQuarrie is our Khaleesi. Mm. Welcome, Khaleesi.
Thanks for having me. What an intro. I feel like we need some...
Does
slow
Kristen,
clap there.
You could like sell a whole series of tops, like Khaleesi tops, which are really, you know, popular.
What would they? What
they were just little tops that she used to wear.
Okay, like halter tops.
I don't know.
Corsets or something.
I'm a man.
They have armor.
I'm a man who does in journalism, so I don't look at women. Ever.
Right, but I'm guessing they're sort of. Right? There's a lot of flesh to be seen.
No,
with these
I'm not even
tops.
Going
okay,
there. Just
right.
The main thing
I mean,
is
a lot's you know subjective.
Okay, all
spiritually
right.
Though, is she not? I can see you riding that dragon, flying down, you know, to Springfield.
Isn't she evil?
No, no. She's good.
No, she's good.
She's
okay.
A, yeah, she's
you got to catch up, man.
I know. I'm so far
behind.
Is she the
heroine?
The white
the blonde. She's
okay,
the
okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
The mother of dragons. I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay.
Is that how you felt on your vacation, or did they calm down?
Oh, no.
The little dragon children.
The little dragon children. No, it was a wonderful vacation. I like... just the past 2 years when my kids are on spring break, we go away, just the four of us. And it's really the only time all year that we're sort of isolated and secluded and our phones really didn't even work where we were. And so we played Uno in the hotel room resort where we stayed. We swam. It was just a nice, nice break.
That is nice.
And yeah.
And Jeff had a little break, too, from the podcast.
Oh, goodness.
Oh,
here it comes.
Look at
that. Oh, get that
on
cough
cue,
button.
On
sorry, Mr. Cass. I couldn't finish my thesis paper on the economy of civilizations that collapse in Illinois. You feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I got caught by it. The worst part of it was I thought I was getting like allergies. You know, spring was kicking up. Turned out it was a respiratory cold and it knocked me out and I was that's
yeah,
what
we're fragile
yeah.
We have fair skin
yeah Kristen's bright red.
Oh. I did burn. I got like sun poisoning all over my face. Mm. And
yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
Really?
You try to be careful.
Well, I don't need sunscreen. I'm
yeah,
cool. I'm
okay.
South Side. I'm cool. I'm Chris.
No, even with sunscreen, it's just we were in Mexico and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And even though you're under an umbrella, it just, you know.
Reflection off the water, reflection off your cocktail, you get sunburned.
Right. My light Irish delicate skin.
I know a man who's like in his 80s, 70s now. He's worth millions after a life in public service, you know, because he was in politics. And
that's how you become a millionaire.
Apparently, he can't even testify in federal court But I guess he was asked for a subpoena, and he can't even testify, right, in the subpoena. But one time this fellow, whoever he may be, Shortshanks, you know who he is, was on vacation and was worried that people would see the tan. So he stayed in his cabana all day and would only come out
of
at night.
Of course.
That's the story, Rich Daly. Yeah, I know you listen.
Yeah, you can't come. You can't claim to be sidetracked or downtrodden or medically inept,
right,
and then come back with a tan. I think Rahm has done that a couple of times too, because he doesn't want everyone to know. During this week, we had 75 shootings, and where was he? Oh, he was in Turkey on the beach. So I think he has avoided.
Is that where he went?
This was a couple of years ago. Yeah? I'm not sure where he goes now. But are you serious that you don't have to wear sunscreen?
No, I do wear
you
sunscreen.
You do? Okay.
Although I did get
even your Greek.
I stand at a soccer field and I get, I stand in the shade, I get suntan.
You do?
Yeah.
So do you burn at all?
Yeah, I guess I could. Yeah, I got to be careful. Because you don't think you burn as much, but, you know,
We
dark-skinned people, Greeks, as you know, only became white politically in 1968 in Chicago.
I learned that from you.
I can't believe I put that in the paper.
It's funny.
People actually thought it's true. All right, so what's going on in Illinois, Kristen?
Well, you know, if it's so sad that this is breaking news or that this is a sign of hope, but House Speaker Michael Madigan and Bruce Rauner, the governor, did meet, and the fact that they met, you know, these two, the governor and the head of the General Assembly, which in every other state probably is a normal daily occurrence.
Right.
The fact that they met is giving people some hope that maybe they will find their way to a full year budget by May 31st. So
maybe the federal government might have something to do with that, since the federal government is taking the mortgage deduction away. And now Mike is Boss Madigan, or is like, now I'm going to start calling him the Night King, because he looks like the guy I put on the Facebook page. Exactly. Right? With the same blue eyes.
Oh.
And if he touches you, you turn to ice. Unless you have... Dan Prof keeps saying, where does the dragon glass come from to fight the Night King? And I said, look, there's a seal called the Department of Justice, and underneath that seal you might find some.
But see, it's been a while since people have pointed out that they were waiting for your Game of Thrones references.
I know.
To
you
return.
Noticed that, too.
So, yes.
I'm overdoing it. But... Without the mortgage deduction, right, in Illinois, what happens to the politics of the property tax?
Well, I thought Trump was keeping the mortgage deduction. Yeah, I think he's keeping the mortgage deduction and the charitable
giving.
What do
I know? I'm just a journalist.
Those are the two things that only things that affect everyday people. So he's keeping it. But what he's taking away is the right for people you can deduct your taxes. You can deduct your federal and local tax burden from your federal taxes. And by removing that, it actually won't impact Illinois as much as it would like a California or New York, where you have a higher income tax. But that will hit high income earners. And
I'm gone. No, I'm not. I'm not there.
But it might come into question how I think you're referencing the speaker's property tax business.
Oh yeah, there's another one.
Impact his appeal process.
It should be interesting to see that. I'd have no special knowledge of whether or not anyone would ever look at that. But in the meantime, you were watching Springfield,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a tweet from Christian McQuarrie. If you don't know, it should be. Kristen, the picture of this very bright and wise person who has kind of like strawberry brown hair, blonde hair, flying on a dragon. But she's decided to
Photoshop that.
Please Photoshop
that.
Do a good job.
And I'll make it my profile picture.
Just like me on that stupid bear.
I never tire.
Yeah, that is crazy. All right, so... what's going on in Springfield with, okay, they meet, then what?
So they've been meeting, they're supposed to meet from January to May 31st. But really between January, February, and March, they met maybe maybe one third of the time that they could have been down there, and the schedules are set by the Democratic leaders. So now this is crunch time, April and May. Of course, April, they had to take their 2-week spring break, so they haven't been down there for a couple weeks. They needed to be on the beach and golf and do all that stuff.
But or go to the castle in Ireland, wherever it is.
Right.
I think he does have a castle. I really do.
You do?
I don't know why. Did I dream it? And I dreamt about him the other day, Mike Madigan, at a castle in Ireland.
Really?
Now, if he touches me in the dream, will he know where I live? That's the thing.
You know what's so scary? He shows up in my dreams, too.
Does
he? Oh, my God.
He does.
Jeff.
And it's usually around this time when Springfield is, you know, they're going to be really busy for the month of May. So I'm writing a lot about it. I'm listening to the legislature all the time. And I'll probably go down there for a short time at the end of session. So, yes, Mike Madigan starts to show up in my dreams.
That's terrifying.
It's terrifying. Not in that way.
No, no.
Just let's be clear.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he'll just like pop up here and there.
He's trying to tax you as you walk by him kind of way.
Jeff, if he touches you in the dream, does he know where you live?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Three-eyed Raven, Jeff Carlin.
Right, I'm pretty sure.
Keep it going.
Yeah. So they're not talking about the budget.
But if you touch him, you find out where his pot of gold is. So it's a trade-off.
Maybe you turn to stone, like the Tales of Narnia.
No one's lived to tell the tale.
The way I see it, Rauner has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's not doing the right things. I don't think his messaging has been that good. And I really don't like that stupid flannel shirt business and the hokey stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that Madigan has too much going. He's trench warfare. He's behind the mud. He's been beating the hell out of him process-wise. And he has journalists who keep calling it the Rauner-funded Republican Party. I don't know where they work. But never the Democratic-controlled Madigan Party.
I think you're hitting on the nose there, John. He runs these ads because somebody is doing research that says people, and I can tell you, I know people
love flannel shirts.
Well, no, they just think he's out of touch. He's a rich guy, he's out of touch, and they think he's trying to impose his business will on the state and to make himself rich. But hold on, hear me out because he's wrong in trying to kind of counter that because it's a waste of effort because he's never going to change that image because he is a billionaire. Nobody knows who he is until
he
showed up.
You want to know who a billionaire is? The little pudgy guy. With my friend Becky Carroll and Gian Greco and other people jumping out of his pockets. His name's Pritzker, J.B. Pritzker.
No. Well, exactly.
And the other guy is the guy who's going to explain Kennedy. Besides, he should explain not only how many times we're going to hear the references to Camelot, Christian McQuarrie, as he runs for governor, but who got the insurance business on the merchandise mart. All those years he was running it.
I wonder who. Did you get a little oppo dump on
No, I don't. No, my oppo dump is my own mind.
Oh, okay. You remember all this.
I just think, who got all that insurance? Maybe some insurance company that maybe knows people in Illinois that might be supporting him now.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Just asking.
I'm sure there's a lot of digging to be done on both of them because I think Chris Kennedy, actually, he was the chairman at the University of Illinois Board of Trustees. He does seem to have, had some sort of a 9-to-5 job at some point in his life. Mm-hmm. Not so sure about Pritzker. So I have not interacted enough with any of the Democratic candidates to know or have a sense for who's kind of the front runner. But I would think that Kennedy has kind of the name, the spark, a little bit more maybe policy where you're not going to have to catch him up as much as maybe the others.
Well, I don't know. The dailies aren't with Pritzker.
No.
Rahm is, though.
Is he?
Oh, come on.
Well, if
Rahm's people are over with Pritzker, you think Rahm's not with Pritzker? You think they go with Pritzker because, I just feel like going here now.
Right.
See you, Rahm. I'll see you after the
campaign. Well, and when Kurt Summers, the city treasurer, decided he wasn't going to run, he endorsed Pritzker.
And
he is a protege of the mayor, so that makes sense.
And he's also a funded automaton of Michael Sachs, the true mayor of Chicago, right?
So funded automotron.
He's a nice kid.
This stuff?
I like it. I like Kurt. He's a good kid, but, it's just you cannot be the Rahm guy and then move into politics, right? Kwame and all the others are staying away because they want to get, they're thinking down the road.
Mm-hmm.
In the short term, though, can Rauner turn this around? That's what a question I asked a couple weeks ago.
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you that I think he's really struggling. And while I understand and I write about it all the time, and you have a great column about it, everything that he's up against and everything that he's tried. You know, he had a turnaround agenda. He has tried to compromise. He's tried meeting with them in person. Mike Madigan doesn't even show up sometimes.
Right.
He's tried meeting with lawmakers individually. He's tried staying out of negotiations. He's tried getting involved in negotiations, and nothing is working for him. The issue now is that he didn't really beat Pat Quinn by very much, maybe 2 percentage points. So it wasn't like he really won because he was able to pull that swing voter over. That's how most governors win in this state. And I think he's losing that swing voter because you can't run again pounding Mike Madigan. What's the reason for me to vote for you and send you back down there? 4 more years of gridlock?
He's got to do what I think our friend Dan Prof brought up, and I think it might work. He's got to drop all the kitsch and start talking to people about their homes.
That's my point, John, is that he's trying to change his image or people perceive him is a mistake. It's a failure. He's never going to do that. He's never going to come off of that. I'm the billionaire. I'm the guy who's nobody heard of who stepped
They're
in.
They're all billionaires.
Right, no, but hear me out, John. So the point is he's got to turn and he's got to enlighten people about the machine and the Madigan and Madiganison, because I'm telling you, people, especially people my age, they think he's the devil because he's out of touch and he doesn't understand anything. And if they don't understand what's happened in the last 40 years here, they don't understand that Mike Madigan was elected as speaker the same year I was born. I mean, that just blows people's mind.
I'll tell you another thing that I want to segue into, the people your age, those young kids, you know, today.
Are you a millennial, Jeff? Are you in that?
He's got the beard for it.
Thank you. No, I'm technically no.
Okay.
I'm technically out. I'm technically a Generation Y.
But he's still kind of a millennial-ish guy.
Sure.
You
he's
know?
Hip.
Hip,
smart,
beard, horn-rimmed glasses, baseball
cool
hat.
Cool shoes.
Cool shoes, and sometimes on a bike.
Skinny jeans.
Never on a bike.
Never on a bike. The point
Skinny
being,
jeans.
These young kids today, we give them a country that where you can say anything you want about anybody you want. Because that's this country. It's called the First Amendment. And they've been raised by the left in terms of the teachers who propagandize them when they're children so that they're afraid to say anything in school because school is a tough place now. You have to get grades in order to get to college. So they modify their views. They're shaped and turned. Now, then they go to college. Some teacher says, hey, it's okay to wear a sombrero, you know, when you're in a Halloween costume. It's not a big deal. Immediately, somebody starts one of these snowflakes starts crying, plays the minority card. They drive the teachers out of Yale. Then you have the beating of Charles Murray. You have the attacks on Heather McDonald. You have now this last thing with Ann Coulter, who clearly is playing it up. Right? She's a player. She's playing it up. But what
She's
happens...
She's a brilliant marketer.
Yeah, but you know what? That doesn't change the fact that the left is the left is all about force, and the left is stopping her from speaking, and the left is telling you to shut up. And they're probably telling my bosses to have me shut up, because I know how they work. What do you think, Kristen? Not about what our bosses are being told about me. But what do you think about the whole left as the fascist element that's stopping free speech?
I friggin' love it. I love it. I love that they are acting like absolute infants and that you have even people on the left now, the Bill Maher's and all these people who love to ridicule and make fun of the far right, that those are the crackpots, finally coming around and realizing that, oops, you're wrong. So I kind of relish all of this crazy stuff that's happening on campuses. And I spoke at a forum at DePaul last fall, and I was shocked at how much free speech has been. I mean, I was on this panel, and I wasn't even sure I was going to make it out of there safely because I was sitting next to this woman who runs the College Republicans, and she was just getting pummeled and pummeled and pummeled. And they had hung signs around campus. You weren't allowed to use the word Trump. You weren't allowed to use chalk. This was during all the chalk.
Oh, yeah, because if you put chalk, the word Trump and chalk on the sidewalk.
Yeah, you're harassing somebody. I know. So to me,
what if somebody trips over it?
To me, I want it to keep unraveling so that they are exposed. Because I remember back, when Trump, during one of the debates, I think it was Chris Wallace said, will you accept the election results if and he made a joke, you know, yeah. Well, I will if I win. And there was all this explosive,
terrified.
Like, oh, people, the far
Chris
right
Wallace
with all
too.
Their guns, they're going to be out marching and storming right. if Trump doesn't win. Well, guess what? Who are the people burning cars, beating people up, acting like animals? It's not the supporters of Trump. It's the other group.
But Jeff Carlin, sooner or later, what the left wants with their sort of, and I have to say, I don't care how people look, but I've seen some of the, you know, the ones without the masks, the women that are used as shields in these leftist things where the left anarchists. I'm just saying, okay, don't be a shield for anybody. But they're the ones with the bike locks wrapped in cloth. So you can't even see it. And then they hit a guy, knock him out. I saw this video. It was on a campus, I think Berkeley.
Yeah.
What happens when they keep pushing it and keep being violent and keep pushing it? Sooner or later, some Trump voter is going to have a stick, and it's not going to be a wooden one. Okay? And somebody's going to get shot. Is that what they want, Jeff Carlin? Is that what the left wants to have? Because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's why the folks at Berkeley said, well, you know, let's push this off to the summer when there aren't a thousand students on campus at every second.
What? Because you can't handle somebody given a different view?
I'm talking about the leadership. I mean, the leadership they're at.
Right. Are they educators or are they?
Well, but they're also liable if something happens and they know they have the forethought to say, hey, well, both these groups have fought in the past. If we allow this. In a prime area when kids are doing finals and the campus is full of people, and they ask Coulter, hey, can we push it back and we do it when the campus is less crowded so there's a less chance that there's going to be violence and there's going to be a clash.
How's this? They allowed these thugs to be violent over and over and over again. And because of that, now they're shutting somebody down. I'm not too
crazy. Shutting down.
They asked
her to move it back to a time when the campus wasn't going to be crowded during the summer
session. Why not do it at 3 o'clock in the morning in July?
Well, because that's...
Why not? Because that's when Janet Napolitano with the good bull-headed haircut can handle what? She was the Homeland Security boss. She can't handle a couple angry communist snowflakes. Come on.
No, but my point is that you're right. The liberals out there, the people who are out there and trying to get in the face of people like Ann Coulter, people who support her supporters, people who are on the same side. It's ridiculous. But to blame the university.
Yes, I do.
To blame the university for asking to try to push this back. I mean, that's liability. They have to cover their own ass.
Here's what universities are. Universities are places where children, sorry to tell you guys, I have two of my own who are in school, you know, you're children for a while. You're becoming adults. You're growing up. This is not 1950 when an 18-year-old was supposed to have a wife and a kid and a job and a car. Okay?
And be drafted.
And already got drafted and came back from Korea. This is the years when we basically infantilize children until they're 30. Okay, this is the new culture of today. Even so, you're supposed to be challenged. College isn't supposed to be comfortable. You're not supposed to be turned out like some cookie cutter where you turned out to be like a clerk, like some clerk in the Byzantine Empire to serve the emperor. You're supposed to be at college to be challenged. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. No, Kristen?
No,
you're supposed to be challenged with ideas, right?
You are. And also, I can't emphasize enough your point about parents. You know, I can't relate because I went to school and I knew that was it. My parents helped pay for some of my tuition. I worked my way through college. I worked my way through graduate school from the time I was 21, my 21st birthday. That was it. I was done. I was completely on my own. And so I don't understand what you're describing, a kid still living at home and parents still paying for their credit cards and buying them cars and, oh, my car's broken. Can you help me pay for the repairs?
Listen up, cast boys. Okay. Keep going.
No, really. I think parenting includes, you know, you figure it out. Figure it out by yourself. I mm-hmm. live like 2 blocks from a public housing project in Peoria for a number of years. Babysat during the day, worked the overnight shift, covering cops at night. I just can't relate to this new millennial. I don't get it.
And I bet you can't relate to the new hunger strike at Yale. Did you hear about this one? There's a hunger strike now at Yale. Yes, but it's the kind of hunger strike that if you get hungry, you can eat.
Have an espresso and a latte and maybe a scone.
Said so long, because
left us moping all alone, alone and whining, rioting, setting fires and crying. It's hard to understand how Trump won the election.
They do call him Sean from Elmwood Park, but I think that's wrong.
You think it's Sean from Melrose Park.
It should be Sean from Melrose Park. Why are we doing like the safe, politically correct Sean? What number are you pressing?
I don't know. Sean looks very dapper today. You look tan. You're wearing a nice little kind of
what did you think?
I'd have a country club outfit.
Come in with tattoos on my arm?
Maybe.
Yeah.
He's got a blue plaid shirt, very stylish, and a yellow golfing sweater.
Really preppy today.
But it's not, it's not an alligator. What is that, like a turkey or something?
I think it's a crane. I'm not sure what it is.
That's like the cooler thing to have. That's like the ultimate.
Well, unlike Proft, I do not have a stylist. I buy my own attire, and I take full responsibility.
You don't have a personal shopper?
I have no personal
shopper. You know, he was on the show with me, I mean the show, the podcast. With Kristen and me, and we're trying to get him to share a little bit.
For the record, it's a kiwi on a...
What is that?
Yeah, it's a kiwi.
Is that like the coolest thing from New Zealand?
No, it's the national bird of New Zealand. That's
kiwis.
About it.
Yeah.
Well, so if I run to New Zealand, I at least have one shirt that'll blend in.
So what do you think, Sean from Elmwood Melrose Park? What do you think of these children stopping free speech in the universities that are complicit in
it? Unlike all of you, I will take full responsibility for this, being a parent who grew up similar to Kristen and you, I assume.
Working. No, I had to work since I was 9.
Me too. And my grandfather owned an auto parts store, and my whole goal as a kid was to get that little blue mechanic shirt with my name on it. And we loaded trucks for the South Water Market. I was an apprentice bricklayer. And while I was doing that, I wasn't reflective of, oh, this is great, it's building character. I said, I'll make sure my kids never do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the opposite approach, and I am one of those guilty parents who have spoiled my children rotten.
How old are they?
16 and soon to be 14.
So,
Rain Man, they're like Rain Man. What's a Snickers bar? $100. How much is a Cadillac? $100. How much is a Two Flat? $100. They don't have any idea of what money is or the value of it. So
Car, is it a BMW or just a Camaro?
My first car was a 77 Cordoba.
Your 16-year-old's first car.
I didn't get her a car. You want to know why, John?
You're such a bad dad.
She is so – I got a great car story with my wife and daughter. But anyway, she is so I've made her enable. She took driver's ed. Was terrible at it. The last thing I'm going to do is give this kid a 3,000-pound weapon with an accelerator. So
the chauffeur drives over?
Me and her mother constantly driving, you know, and she's so afraid of strangers. I'm like, take an Uber. No, he's a stranger. So, you know, my whole life goes around transporting these kids, which is really what parents are today. You're Uber drivers who not only don't you get a tip, you have to pay for everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and what happens in my generation, and I'm in my 40s, my late 40s, my generation
You're just a kid.
Yeah, my generation is...
All three of you.
We have destroyed our kids. But we're not what's responsible in the country. That is the communist generation of the 70-year-olds, the 1960s kid.
The Bill Ayers?
What ruined the country. That's the true immorality, for lack of a better phrase, of society.
It's
you were talking earlier.
It's probably a lot of many factors, I would say.
Yeah.
That would be one. The evolution of public schools would be another. They've always been designed to turn out clerks and, you know, technicians for the state. That's what they are. And they fool us by thinking they're actually educating children. Sometimes they don't.
Well,
that's really the idea of a public school is to put people on track so they can serve the state, no?
Exactly. Well, and look at what they do now today. We're sitting here, and that woman's going to get sentenced for stealing $23 million, misappropriating $23 million of funds. What's she going to get, 6 years, 5 years?
What's she going to say? She listened to the Greek guy?
Those are our, you know? That's our money. Mm-hmm. These schools are truly corrupt. Whether they're giving jobs that they're paying $90 an hour to, pensions, parking lots of patronage, where if you know the right guy, you get one of those jobs, you're great. You become a teacher. It's the old gangsters. Cut me in or cut it out. How do you protect a corrupt institution? Cut them in. So now they start protecting themselves. And that is where you are teaching our kids this Keynesian economics, this what you're complaining about with Ann Coulter, this where if I don't like it, I can't hear it, you got to stop it. So it's wrapped in a false virtue. It's corruption wrapped in virtue. And that's how they try to disarm us.
And there's like entitlement woven in there somewhere too, because even people there was a bill, and I don't want to go off track, but Illinois is now jumping on the equal pay issue. And so the House overwhelmingly passed this bill recently that would make it illegal for employers to ask any sort of a question about what was your salary before. And it somehow they're making this a women's rights issue, and it's absolutely ridiculous. But there are so many women on both sides who actually feel that they are getting paid less, and they feel entitled.
Is that true? Is that number really true?
No, well,
not even close. I'm
no.
a real estate broker. You want to compare what women make in real estate brokerage compared to men? So they have to take away the individuality of any occupation, mm-hmm. and they have to put you in this position where you're tribal, right? I'm a woman, so I have to be on this side. I'm a man, so I have to be on that side. There are so many factors that go into that. How many women don't work for 20 years because
exactly.
they raise kids. Now they're in that statistic. So
right.
see, statistics can be contorted, not
but,
just for
but
green
even
energy.
Those women who leave the workforce, and many of them, you know, they had a law degree, they went to school, they were successful, they decided to stay home. When they re-enter the workforce, they want to be caught up. And I don't agree with that. I took some time off when my kids were little. I didn't expect when I came back full time to be making the same amount that my coworker who was dragging her kid to daycare in the dark at 6 a.m. and trudging off to work, she should have been making more than me or the man.
But look at that excuse of faux virtue by a
do
government.
You know this,
look what we're allowing it to do. We're taking their premise and we're allowing them to say, okay, what do you want? Pay the woman more for less. You heard that
you
woman
see
called
this,
Dan Schill.
You see this not just on for women, but just in general. There's an insurance company. They got commercials. If I had a baseball bat, I would crack their heads open. I swear to God, when I see it.
I'm the guy from
Motos.
I
don't know this one.
I see
it,
yeah. But not that I could, you know. I might hit them with my belly and knock them down. And like
I'm thinking the bike chain and the
yeah,
socks.
Yeah, that's because I'm not a communist, anti-fa, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But did you ever see that commercial where I drive a car, and it's always got the Statue of Liberty behind it. I drive a car, and I smashed it up. And you know what the insurance company said? That I'm not going to get the full value of my car.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm a good driver. Okay, I had a couple accidents, but what's the problem, insurance companies? Mm-hmm. And I hear that, and I'm thinking, what are moron? Are you morons for listening to this and for not looking at your rates? Because I bet you if you have an insurance company that covers everything, like I breathed on my car and it got a little dust, so, you know, got some moisture of cast breath on it. So therefore, you're paying something for that coverage, right? I bet your rates are higher than ever.
Well, you know what I've come to realize?
Okay, once, I'm too crazy, so let's just change the subject.
No. Once you argue a lie, you're pulled off into the deep water, and now you're arguing a falsehood. So insurance is the prime example. It is a scam from the get-go, created by smart bookmakers, for lack of a better phrase, meant to middle disaster, whether it's car accidents or it's health care, no matter what the case is. It is about offsetting costs of your life with someone else who may have a better fortune or whatever the case may be, better shape, better driver for your case. Imagine if we lived in a society where we were responsible for ourselves and only ourselves and the people we chose, whether they be kids or family members or whatever. You would be far better off. That's the premise of America. It wasn't about this collective sacrifice, taking rights from one group in the pay scale. or in the car accident victim, and giving them to another because some Wizard of Oz deems them less fortunate and can give you statistics to benefit that.
Or taxation.
Exactly. Or, the immorality of taxation.
Or having, like if you're Mike Madigan, hiring a guy in the Department of Transportation, a bricklayer, to build bridges with minority contractors on roads. I don't understand how that works.
Because within that power is the corruption, scam, is the power.
Building bridges, right.
And it feeds on itself.
So the whole thing's corrupt, Kristen, and everything's falling apart. How long do we have?
With me?
In the state.
Oh.
we have you, Khaleesi, till the end of time. I shall always serve you.
There is no tipping point anymore. I used to think that there would be, and I used to think it was when the bond rating started to drop or when you were actually starving social service agencies to the extent that we are in this state. I thought that would be the tipping point and people would get serious. No, it's not. And the example is even yesterday in the Illinois House or this week in the Illinois House, they were debating, instead of talking about the budget, they were debating a bill where if you ran a little shop that sold Illinois souvenirs of any kind, you had to buy those souvenirs in-state. You weren't allowed to buy from China or whatever. It got to the point during debate. And by the way, there was one company excluded from this bill, the Sparta Shooting Range in southern Illinois, which is owned by one of Mike Madigan's college buddies and gets carve-outs all the time. That was the one group that was not going to have to abide this law. Everyone else was going to have to. And they actually got to a point where they were questioning the sponsor of the bill, Marty Moylan from Des Plaines, a Democrat, where his clothing was from. And it got down to a discussion about his underwear. And I thought...
What were they asking?
They were saying, like, what, well, where's your... You know, the Republican, they're shouting across the aisle. Well, where's your... So you want everyone to buy, you know, things in the USA. That's great. Where's your suit from? And he starts reading a label of his suit. And it actually, I think, was made in Des Plaines. And so then they got to his pants and they got to his shoes and then they got to his underwear. And then somebody said, I call the previous question. And so they had to force a vote. But that's how... That's kind of how they're spending their time down there instead of dealing with the crisis.
Because they know that... whatever they say doesn't. The only guy who could talk about, you know, his underwear and his suits really is Jimmy DeLeo, who made John Cullerton president of the Senate.
What kind of cars do you drive?
Bentley.
Yeah. Couldn't spell it with a B and a T. So we allow them to accrue debt unlimited. We allow them to basically print money. Not only that,
it's Greece.
We pay them to fail. Because here's the other little secret that Rauner's World is really about. When you have a high credit rating because you're a failure of a state, the people who sell you those bonds, who sell you that extended credit, make more. It is in their vested interest you don't fix your problems. You continue to fail. There is a tremendous amount of money in failure of government. We keep giving them power. We keep rewarding them financially through their failure. Why will they ever stop failing? They won't. And we keep throwing more bad ideas at them because they have no fundamentals. Now, that person who said, why should protectionism, which is what you're saying, we can only do business in Illinois, take it to Trump's world. We can only do it in the country. Why does it fail? Because it makes the people pay more for their essential benefits, their essential necessities of life.
Yeah, but there should be some, to get on the national thing for a second, there should be some idea that you're an American, you don't owe anything to your nation.
Yeah, John, that's
everything
that
like,
me.
Because as a conservative, I can see where capitalism can be destructive.
No, it's the bastardization of it that's destructive.
Well, pardon me?
All right.
I mean, it can be destructive if we see, I guess in the purest, pure world of capitalism, all that falls from it are little soap bubbles that are clear and inside is an angel in each one.
That's not,
but in the real, in the world you're talking about, where there are carve-outs, like Kristen said, for Mike Madigan's gun dealer friend, or I don't have to buy my plastic from, you know,
you're
from
arguing Detroit. You're arguing the lie and not getting where it comes from.
All right, let's hear where it comes from.
So why are American companies unable to compete with foreign companies? And that is because of American government and in collusion with American organized labor. So let's take something simple. It doesn't seem like it's capitalism, but it is. So say the drugs that Bernie Sanders argues. Bernie Sanders says, let's get our drugs from Mexico and from Canada because they're cheaper. They're pharmaceutical.
As opposed to our others.
We're getting that anyway. But anyway, let's get that from these other. Why are those countries able to sell generics at far less? It's because the American government protects the pharmaceutical companies through their lobbying. So they build barriers to make those costs higher. It's the same with labor.
So much?
It's the same with labor. It's the same with minimum wage laws. So you have these speed bumps that the government has created in a parking lot, in a small parking lot, and there's no way out of it. And the only way you just keep going in the circle, keep hitting the speed bumps, and you're calling that capitalism. That's not capitalism. We are a hybrid of socialism mixed in with regulations and power to bureaucrats, and we keep referring to that as capitalism.
Well, and to what we discussed earlier, even state government now stepping in and telling an employer that it is an offense, that it is illegal for them to ask a question or have something on their questionnaire that gives a salary range. I mean, the state passes mandates and laws and regulations like that every day. Yeah. And so that's why we can't compete. And I think in the 80s, to your point, John, it was more relevant, you know, buy American, buy in the USA. But we're way beyond that. I mean, the manufacturing has completely abandoned the south and southeast side of Chicago. It is a ghost town in some of those communities down there. And we are now, we have to adjust capitalism with globalism. And so this bill that they were talking about in Springfield, you're a small business owner. The state's going to tell you where you now have to buy your products out of what? A sense of like patriotism for Illinois, which has run itself into the ground.
But how do you get the little kiosk in the Bill Cellini monument to Lincoln? To Bill and Julie Cellini, her picture's there. And every Republican governor, whoever walks past that picture, kneels in front of it, in that mural, and kisses the shoes of Julie Cellini, saying, thank you, Bill.
I need to see that. I have not yet.
Yeah,
that's using legislation to nationalize your property. See, what's more patriotic than giving your property to the state? Every socialist country is a patriot country.
Are you telling me it was a lot simpler when the Mutt and Jeff inspectors, the big Irish guy and the small Italian guy, walked into my dad's store and said they loved the ribeye steak, so I had to, as an 8-year-old, had to fill the bag of steaks.
It's the same level with government. It's government.
But at least it was, okay, here's your payoff. Now leave me the hell alone.
Well, what are taxes? It's gangster government. This whole rule is gangster government. You will capitulate or we will take your property. So that's when I always go to, and they make fun of me, of the Fabian socialism. It is a metastasizing cancer of legislation making you illegal in your own existence where you must pay off everybody. So what is left for you? We walk around and we pretend we own businesses. We own our income. We own our real estate. We do not. So the country, to your end, when does it end? It already ended. We're just pretending it doesn't.
This sounds like another episode like of last week, the other time we talked about Star Trek, Jeff, where the people with the big brains put you in an illusion, and you're in an illusion, right?
Yep.
The aliens, the Talosians, you're in an illusion. You think you're free, but you're not.
You're absolutely. Try to open a business and tell me if you're free.
Right. No, I get emails like that all the time from people, especially the restaurant industry in Chicago. Need a permit for your sign, for your awning, for your liquor license, for your food, for your valet, for your parking. A lot of that is funneled through the alderman's office. Sidewalk cafe. Everything is regulated.
It depends on the site, but you know who? There's the Department of Revenue investigates those sidewalks.
Yeah.
And they have a little ruler, and the guys from the Coalition for Better Government. Do you ever hear of them? They're all these guys from The one was Quarters Boyle, who stole all the millions from the right.
Yeah, stuffed
the
his tollway, pockets.
And then
Quarters
got another job. Daley gave him another job handling truck contracts.
Mm-hmm. See, that kind of thing is outrageous that we tolerate that. And I do not like bald faced fraud. As if there's nothing I can do about it. So I think there is a breaking point. Now, you asked why I'm tan. I opened up a real estate company to move people from Illinois to Florida. That's why I'm tan. I go back and forth to earn a living. Because so either people move or they become violent. Or what you have is the absolute corruption where now they're just feeding on themselves, pretending that there's success.
If that's true, I mentioned it in a column the other day, the taxpayers, the regular folks who end up paying the bill for everything, they don't complain. You've got all the, like, oh, my God, Rauner's not going to pay for my abortion. I'm going to go have in other words, the taxpayers aren't going to pay for my abortion. I'm going to go down to Springfield, and I'm going to get coverage. And I'm a SEIU union guy, and we're screaming and screaming. And all the reporters come around and say, Rauner-funded Republican Party. And they write stories about morale. It's the moral issue about why you're not, why taxpayers don't want to or are funding abortion. You know what? And it's great for Madigan. It's great for the Democrats. It's great for the eaters, as Pate Phillips used to call it, the people who eat the taxes. It's not so great for people who pay. And that middle class group doesn't. You know why they call them the silent majority? Because they're silent.
And then what do they do?
They leave.
It's one of the biggest frustrations for me in watching all this is that Democrats in the state have still claimed the territory of being for the little guy, for being for the middle class. That is why you still have Democratic control of the House and Senate, because there's this belief out there. If you're for the middle guy, you don't strap debt on all of these people like the Democrats have done.
Well, then
it's totally immoral. And the state, the idea that businesses, schools even, for years, have had to take out loans to cover their own expenses because the state is a deadbeat and owes them money, and they are waiting 6, 12, 18 months to get paid.
Where's the opposition? The Republicans are walking lockstep with that. And their whole idea, and this is the other aspect of it, the Republicans,
it's called a combine.
You could go national or you could go state. The Republicans are working to corrupt that other middle class that you talk about by cutting them in on the scam. Whether it's subsidies through certain tax benefits, subsidies through their health care, right? What's the Illinois Republican answer to the health care problem? Well, let's cut in everybody and we'll all get subsidies. Because now you have the people who never were on subsidies now arguing for their subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every time I hear an old man laugh about I laugh when they talk about Social Security. I'm entitled to it.
Mm-hmm.
No. You bought a scam 30 years ago. And now you say, cut me in or cut it out. So you corrupt the good people. And that's how the scam continues to grow.
No, you're absolutely
and there's
right.
No opposition.
Especially with pensions, with people who are pension earners.
Absolutely.
And they feel entitled to that money. And I was just looking at data the other day that you still have people who retire on, $50,000 or $60,000 pension. That's not breaking the bank necessarily. But they only, by the time they cash out, it will be a $2 or $3 million pension. And they paid in about $60,000.
That's not my pension.
No,
I don't have
so that.
So when
either.
Am I going to get mad?
Hmm.
When am I going to get mad and say, you sons of bitches, you've taken stuff from me. I'm supposed to eat your crap. You give me a crap sandwich. I'm supposed to put that on top of my dry dog food that I'm going to eat when I'm an old man in some SRO, cooking a pot of beans on a hot plate. I'm serious.
They use your morality
people are like
against
this.
You. They're using your John Cass's individual morality against you because the reality is you're going to get mad.
So who's to blame? I would suggest, and I want both of you to answer, I would say that part of the blame goes to the media. A big part. Goes to the media in this town, in this state, for going along with the deal or for not calling out the powerful. I know that the Tribune does, and I have to recommend and commend Christian McQuarrie and the editorial board for what they've been doing. But I don't, and it's courageous, and I remember our old boss, Tony Hunter, when he was at a dinner with Michael Madigan and said, he was the publisher, and he stood up and made a speech, and he looked right at Madigan and said, and you haven't seen anything yet. And this was right before the big stories came out about the law firm and all that. So I think that some media does do the job, but I think combination of television media and the kind of reporters who like to suck up to politicians in both print and broadcast because they want to have easy access to some idiot showing up on their show, telling them how great they are and how fair they are, all that's part of it. Yes or no?
It is part of it. I think the media has a short memory. It's unfortunate that there are people like me around who still remember scams from 20 years ago, the way budgets came together, the hypocrisy and the double standard that I think the media kind of places on Rauner. I think I would probably place most blame, though, with voters. We're just so apathetic and there is no revolt. Yes, we are constrained to one point, the whole redistricting process and the fact that that keeps getting they won't even put it on the ballot for us to vote on so that you would get a better balance of power in Springfield as part of it. But we're to blame.
I'm going to blame it on schools. Okay, because these people that you speak of in the media are products of their schools. And I'll never forget Yuri Bezmenov. He was a defector, a Soviet defector in the 70s. And he had really divulged what the communist plan was for overturning a society. And it is to indoctrinate the youth. Because the individual youth, we don't know where those kids are going to go, but they're going to go somewhere. But if you can lay that seed of communism in them, they will build upon that their entire life. So in society now, whether from your grocer to the guy in the health club to your banker, you're really arguing degrees of Keynesian economics. And it pulls you off into these other realms of social interaction where we're arguing about stealing the rights of one person to benefit either one other person or a group of other people. So it is the baseline of education where people do not understand freedom, liberty, and capitalism. So now we're arguing hybrids of all. And everybody's got a sadder story. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a different victimhood.
So I should get it. No, you should get it.
Exactly.
Right?
Right. No, the women. No, the black women. No, the black homosexual women.
How about the Greek guys that weren't white until 1968? How about us?
No, it's so true. When I watch them talk about all these bills in Springfield, the sponsors stand up. And we're passing a statewide law because of one person who had an unfortunate
Exactly.
You know, it just
the problem with all of this is it like let's the problem with immigration, the problem with healthcare, the problem with all of this isn't what people get. It's the fact that you get it anyway for nothing, that we give our citizens all this free nonsense for merely being born within a longitude and latitude. That's the problem with all of it. You could have absolute open immigration. You could have absolute health care as long as you, the individual, and only you pay for your own life and are responsible for you and the people you love.
But that would necessitate a breaking of the order.
Well, how did they bring us to this point from freedom? They infiltrated it in youth. We need to take it back that way. Destroy the public school system. And in 50, 60, 70 years, maybe we'll be back to where we should be.
I think before that happens, we're going to have a loss of the First Amendment. And kids will give up the First Amendment without even – because right now they think – according to studies I've seen, the First Amendment is okay, but you shouldn't say anything that bothers other people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even Ann Coulter during this whole
and
she's not my cup of tea.
Right.
She's
okay,
definitely
okay.
not my cup of tea. But her speech is not hate speech. It's not. It is completely protected. The only speech that isn't is that which would incite immediate emergency or danger. But the First Amendment keeps getting manipulated. That if it's offensive, somehow it's not covered. I don't know. I offend people every day, so I'm kind of used to it.
Well,
I'm assuming you guys are too. Okay.
Well, the three of us do not have much time. I do want to welcome Sean because he's always been part of our little – we have a gang of four today. Usually we have a gang of three. We meet in cells of three, Sean.
I like it.
Because Jeff keeps worrying that sooner or later someone's going to know who we are and lock a rat cage on our head in room 101. Right, Jeff? Aren't you?
Yep, always. And I've seen the cages.
You have?
Yeah.
I remember them. Yeah, I remember them. Yeah.
I'm a masochist enough to
how many fingers do I have up?
Offend people.
What?
First of all, those aren't fingers. I never saw anything like it. Where do you get rings for those things?
I know, right?
I mean, they're great.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
them. By the way, did you bring me lamb? You made the lamb. You Facebooked, you tweeted the lamb, and I have no lamb.
I did
and I
not,
want lamb.
And I'm going to do a lamb barbecue this summer.
For us, just
for
us.
For everybody, yeah, for you guys. And I think, I don't know how, I would like to bring everybody who's listening, but I can't. I don't know how we could do
invite
it.
Dan Proft. I want to make fun of his clothes.
If Dan can Dan
does he really? I mean, he can't possibly have a personal shopper. Or
oh, he does.
A new
oh
one.
No.
And
yeah.
I have a little inside info.
Yeah,
she works with my wife's best friend, And she was mad at me when I made fun of him.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, listen, stop making him look like a little kid who should have a hat with a fan on top, and I'll stop making fun of him.
Wait, Jeff, I just want you to know about Jeff Carlin, because you know Jeff.
Oh, yeah. I like
he just made a note of that moment that you said that about Dan, and so that we could put it. He's going to
It's going to be
right?
sure to be in
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, aren't you? Yeah. But I, yeah,
I have had the,
it's going to be my ringtone.
Oh, I have had the lamb. Of John Cass's at John
I'm
Cass's.
I'm dying.
House. I do.
I mean, I still think about it. So
you've had the lamb shanks. Though.
Yes, I did.
It's not the same.
Okay. I've had both. I've tried both, and I don't really eat meat, but they're delicious.
Jeff was there when the whole thing started falling apart. We had to do a little. We had to take the lamb off, chop it up with a chopper, like a big cane cutter, like that you use, like if you want to be a shortstop for the Cubs someday. And I used that, and I chopped it up, put it on different grills, and cooked it. Right, Jeff?
Yep.
It was freaky.
Like that scene in Fargo where they're pushing the foot down
that.
Into the...
Yeah. My grandfather was a butcher, and he used to do things with his... I'd be like, he'd rip animals apart. I'm like, what are you doing? No, taste it. It's good. And just then the feed you meat. With the hand that he just ripped the leg off with.
But just the cheek meat.
Yeah, it's
remember
just
this.
Crazy. It's crazy.
The cheek meat is always tasty. The if you want to know about everyone about what Sean was talking about, and Christian, the illusion of everything... You have to watch The Menagerie, Star Trek. It's the first episode.
Really?
Back with when Jesus Christ, what was not Jesus, Jeffrey Hunter played Captain Pike. You will learn all about that. And for Kristen McQuarrie, the Khaleesi of Illinois, for Sean of Melrose Elmwood Park, who is a cigar, you still have the cigar shop?
I do. I love the cigar
shop.
Which
go?
You never, I've invited you every day.
I know.
Day.
I want to go. But can Kristen go?
Oh,
no, I don't want to go. I was saying earlier, I'm fine with that being sort of like no XY chromosomes.
No, there's a lot of women that smoke cigars. We have wonderfully flavored cigars.
But see, Kristen doesn't
change.
Do that.
Sleep doesn't
my
it
wife
change?
Kristen will not smoke a cigar, and she won't drink beer out of a bottle. She's a perfect lady.
Mm-hmm. Really? Are you sure you're from the South Side?
No,
I love you chicks from the South Side. You could change
I drink
the tire.
Beer out of the bottle, but I wouldn't smoke a cigar. And I would. I just think it kind of changes the DNA of the room and the environment when there's a female, right?
Oh, that's
no?
the beauty of it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I like that.
So are you near, like, where is the place?
Right across from the railroad tracks, 114 West Park Avenue in Elmhurst, Illinois.
And the name of it?
The Elmhurst Cigar House.
Okay.
Slash my pad when my wife throws me out.
So I can sit there and I can smoke a cigar. Can I sit in a chair that looks outside, or do I have to be in a cave downstairs?
It's really like a house. So you look out of it. We have a nice 65-inch TV. We've got two little living rooms. We've got
soccer?
A front area. And here's the thing, Jen.
Soccer.
We could put it on for you.
You're half Italian. Italian soccer? Serie A?
I'm Norwegian, though. We like to, you know, hit things with an axe and go roaming around the country.
Well, someday I'm going to do that. Maybe we can do our show from there. Kristen will come.
Oh, I would love that.
And that'd be fun.
All right, you'll be there.
Podcast on the road.
Yeah, let's do that.
You might find Dan Proft on the couch.
I can't see.
In his Nordstrom personal
with
shopper.
With a whale on
clothes.
His ass guy. Right.
Is that where Dan sleeps, like when he does a political thing, like I saw him doing at the Northwest Lincoln Day? Something like
he'll
a couple weeks
there.
Ago, he was the MC.
Oh,
and then he's got a show at, everyone's like coming up to him. Does he shop? Does he flop on your place and then drive to
He will come there. And in fact, he'll only go there in the morning when, like, you know, he doesn't want anyone to know he's there. And,
oh, yeah.
and the way it's set up, I can deal with the public and he's kind of protected.
Oh, my God.
And I'll have people that'll.
Are you kidding?
No, it's great.
Does Dan Proft have a velvet rope thing? Like he's behind
well,
the velvet rope?
He doesn't like mixing with the people. No, I'm kidding.
No, he really doesn't. But does he? Is there like a line for autographs for him?
You have to get through a narrow door that I have to let you through, which is why I throw out, I have a little test. We don't let communists or Fabian socialists in the back room. You can pay. You pay double for the cigar. That's my tax on your stupidity.
Okay.
And then I throw you out the front door.
Perfect.
That sounds good. Sean, Kristen, Jeff Carlin's feeling better. Maybe he'll talk next time.
Are you sick? Because you shook my hand.
He
sick?
Did.
Don't tell anybody.
He shook
See,
your hand without wax
with
paper on it
people.
Or something.
Damn.
Hey, self-interest. I don't care about you.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on another edition of the Chicago Wake.